Hey there, listeners. Welcome to the Leadership is Changing podcast. My name is Dennis Genutis and I'm your host. I had a great interview with a lady by the name of Anne Swanson. Anne teaches meditation to busy people with busy minds. She's the author of the internationally best-selling book, Science of Yoga and Meditation for the Real World. And you want to check those books out. But the interview that we had, we talked about all sorts of things. The power of pauses. And I'll let Anne explain to you in the interview what she meant by that. But we also talked about shifting the mindset to gratitude. And follow your real purpose was another topic we talked about. But the thing that we really talked about was towards the end was around slow down and take powerful pauses. And it's so exciting to hear her talk about it. And then you actually going and putting it in place is going to be something that's going to be very important for you all, especially if you've got a busy mind. Hey, enjoy the interview.
Welcome to Leadership is Changing. Each week, we and our guests provide information and insights through exploring leading change. This is taking your leadership to another level by finding the balance between executive excellence and personal well-being through stories that inspire real change. It's time to adapt in our fast-moving world when leadership is changing with your host, Dennis Giannoutsos.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome to another wonderful Leadership is Changing podcast. Great episode and great to have you here with us. I have a great lady with me today. Her name is Anne Swanson. Anne, a massive welcome to you.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here with you today.
Excellent. Now, whereabouts in the world are you?
I am in Hawaii on Oahu, on the west side of the island here.
Very cool. Have you always been in Hawaii?
No, actually, for the pandemic, right before the pandemic hit, I had my first book come out, Science of Yoga. And I knew it was going to be translated into 15 languages. So I had a world book tour planned and I was going to Japan and things booked in Germany. And then the pandemic hit. And I had sold everything I owned to go on this world tour. And so I didn't have anywhere to live. So I lived in my mom's basement for a little while the pandemic, which was not where I expected to be at that point in my life. But I went on vacation after being there for a while and like things slowed down with the pandemic. I went on vacation and I went to Hawaii for what was going to be just a few weeks, but it's been 3 years now.
Amazing. It's actually the 4th year anniversary this month, right? I know it's been a long time and 3 years you've possibly been out, but you've been doing things. But it was really amazing when that pandemic hit, right? It was almost like, hey, world, stop. Take time out. And I was thinking to myself, what's the world saying to us? We need to meditate more. We need to take more, do yoga more. What do you reckon?
Yeah, it was a great pause for a lot of us. And a lot of us even it picked up our work too. But it shifted our social lives, which in that way was a pause in our family lives. So we had more time to think about what do we really want to do? What direction do we want to go? A lot of people did meditate. Meditation books became really popular during that time. People dove into meditation more. And I think it's become more commonplace and less woo-woo now for me to talk to you about it today. I speak from a scientific perspective. Mm. My book, Meditation for the Real World, was with a Harvard researcher, Dr. Sarah Lazar. Like, there's growing evidence to support meditation, and it's become more mainstream. And I do think more people started to practice during the pandemic for good reason.
Do you think they have continued with that practice as well now that things are bounced back and come to more of a, if I can call it, normal kind of life now?
A lot of people have a hard time sticking with a meditation practice. Mm. You may have tried it before and not continued on, or maybe you've only tried it once and you're like, oh, this isn't for me. But ultimately, there's so many different types of meditation that if you've tried it or it didn't stick, you just weren't doing the right type of meditation for you in that situation and that life time for you, that life situation. So there's a variety that you can practice to find what's right for you. And I think that's really what's coming out now. It's mindfulness was so big for so long, that techniques of mindfulness. But mindfulness is not a one-size-fits-all, solve everything. There's other techniques, and compassion meditations are becoming more popular. Meditations where you repeat a word are becoming more popular in both the mainstream and in the research.
I actually think that people have been meditating a long time, and it's probably in a different way than you may talk about. And it's more about they meditate in a way of negativity, of overthinking things, of the bad things that are going to happen, and just keep telling themselves and repeating that self, those kind of statements to themselves. Meditation, the way that you're thinking it, how does it help a leader today? What can they do? Because I think it is really strong, and it's a very powerful tool, method, process that people can use to really help them. What is really meditation?
Yeah, meditation has stood the test of time because it works. It's an ancient practice throughout all cultures that has transcended. And more people are practicing it also in the workplace, from Google CEO to Ariana Huffington, Oprah, like big names that practice meditation and give a lot of credit to meditation for their focus, for their ability to learn, relax, and be at more ease. And what you're describing is that negative thinking that we all have, that the natural negativity bias that our brain has, and it's there to protect us. There's structures in our brain that are protecting us from potential threats. Now, when we read a stressful email, if you take it as really taking a grip of you, then you will have all the same chemical cocktails as if a saber-toothed tiger is chasing you and about to eat you, but you're just sitting there reading an email. And that's where meditation can play a role, is putting things in perspective. So I say, you see a stressful email, take a moment, turn your chair, like literally turn your rolling chair away. So you're looking away from the screen for a moment. Eyes can be open or closed. Ground your feet down and pause. Notice your body's sensations. And what you're going to find is that when you listen to your body tells you what to do, and you're able to come back to that email, even just like a 1 minute meditation or less. You can come back, turn around, and get back to that email with a sense of greater clarity and purpose in your response rather than reacting. So we can fit meditation as leaders into our day as these powerful pauses to become more thoughtfully responsive rather than reactive in those moments.
Excellent. Big humans, sorry, big names you said, but they're actually still human beings, right? The Oprahs and so forth. And that's one thing. And I really like the way that you actually talk about the meditation side of things. So maybe we should change email to tiger. We'll call it tigers or something like that, which is quite cool. But I think the powerful pauses is very important for us. A lot of people are on. They're always on the go and things like that. So what a wonderful way to start there, listeners, and sharing some really cool things. Now, Anne, tell us more about your background. So you've written two books there we've talked about. You've got a YouTube channel as well. But also tell us more about your sort of background, where you've come from, what you've done as well.
Yeah, so I came to these practices because I myself was very anxious and dealt with chronic pain since I was a teenager. And so I came to them out of necessity for my own healing. I started with yoga. Now, meditation was not something I was attracted to. I was anxious, busy person, busy mind, type A, perfectionist. That didn't interest me. But with yoga, with the physical, I was able to calm my anxiety, right? It said that when there's a problem in the mind, and that was my anxious overthinking, the solution is often in the body. So the physical poses in yoga would help me relax. But then when it gets to the point of the meditation at the end of the class, I'd be looking at my watch. I'm like, it is time to go. I have things to do that are more important than this. I just did not get it. But as teachers start to integrate other techniques to help you relax and meditate, every once in a while, there was a moment, like a glimpse into that, when there was a technique that worked for me in that time. One in particular that works for me, we can all do it right now as we're listening, is notice how your shoulders feel. You might feel like tension in your shoulders, really common. So take your shoulders and squeeze them up toward your ears. Squeeze the tension. Imagine you're squeezing it out and pucker up your lips and make a silly face and then release it down. Let's do it one more time, okay? So squeeze those shoulders up, squeeze the face, squint the eyes and sigh it out. And then allow your shoulders to drop. Feel them release down. You might feel that they can drop more. And often they will, it really will even look lower if you look in the mirror. They have physically dropped down because on a microscopic level, I now know this now. I didn't know this back then and when they did it in a yoga class. But on a microscopic level, our muscle fibers are lengthening more after they've experienced that tension. Ironically, when we go into the full tension, our body responds by full relaxation. And it teaches your body the difference between tension and release. It's called progressive muscle relaxation. This is a technique often used like before a meditation to help you really relax. You can do it from head to toe, get your whole body relaxed. One time we did that and I was like, oh, wow, I get it. I get what this whole meditation thing is about. It was a technique that worked for me. And over time, I started to feel that it would help with my anxiety, my chronic pain, which really meditation is an anecdote for chronic pain because it's a misinterpretation of the body signals, right? When there's a problem in the body, the solution is often in the mind. So if you experience some sort of pain, we all often want to work with the mind, the nervous system to work through that. So my chronic pain started to be more managed. And my business also has really taken off. So it helps in all aspects of life.
You know how you say the body, there might be something there going on, but then the mind may have the answer.
Yeah.
When I go to have a shower, sometimes I'm getting these ideas or I might be a little anxious, not anxious or tight, a little bit things. So I'm trying to work through a problem or an issue or an opportunity. And then when I'm having a shower, boom, the answer arrives and I go like, whoa, where did that just come out of? I must have come out of that shower head. What's going on there? What's happening? Any ideas and thoughts on that?
Yeah, your shower ideas are, I believe, quite meditative, right? We have the warmth of the water on our skin and it will physically relax your muscles, just similar to what I described, right? You're using a different technique. Warmth will also relax your muscles. When your muscles start to relax, your mind starts to relax. And when your mind is more relaxed, ideas can come with ease. So that's why we get those shower ideas. It's quite a meditative experience.
Yeah, nice way of saying it. So when the muscles relax, the mind relaxes, then the ideas will follow.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then we can get into flow state better. And that's what meditation does for us, is it puts us in flow state quicker and longer. So if you think, oh, my mind is too busy to meditate, I feel too distracted, I'm too busy to meditate. Well, the thing is, when you go through that boot camp for your focus, which is basically what meditation is, then you're going to be able to go into flow state, focus state, complete immersion into your activities quicker, longer, harder. And so it does boost productivity. That's what a lot of people come to meditation for, is for that increased focus and productivity, because they are side effects compared to medication that has all these negative side effects that we take for our anxiety and sleep. Meditation has positive side effects.
Yeah, wow. Excellent. So listeners, if you haven't tried out meditation or you haven't tried out yoga, highly recommend you go ahead and do it. But then, and there's your books, there's your YouTube channel, anywhere else that people go if they want to learn how to do yoga or if they wanted to learn how to do meditation, because for a lot of people, as you say, they try it once and then they go, oh, I don't know what they're expecting. Da-da, there you are, you're resolved or you're sorted. No, I don't think it's going to work. So any ideas where people can go to learn that kind of those methodologies?
Yeah, so for the physical practices like yoga and Tai Chi, and I'm a massage therapist, so I also teach self-massage, little breaks you can take during the day. That's definitely going to be my YouTube. You can find Ann Swanson Wellness. And then I have a gift for your listeners. If they go to meditationfortherealworld.com, then they can find out how to get the book, Meditation for the Real World. And I'm giving you audio guided meditations, 10 minutes a day. That's it, just less than 10 minutes a day. And they are with music that has been engineered to optimize your brainwave. So if you're one of those people that has a hard time getting into it, but like music is relaxing for you, this is going to really help you get into that state. So meditationfortherealworld.com is where you can go to learn out more.
That's nice. So thank you. There you go, listeners. A nice little gift for you there. And we're only just getting into the episode, so it's pretty good. So a gift straight away. Wow. Pretty cool. And I think what you're talking about, the music, is that more about a frequency? So there's different types of frequencies that will actually help the mind as well, right?
Absolutely. So the frequencies of the music were specifically chosen to induce specific brainwave states. So often, like when you're listening to me right now, when we're talking, we're in beta brainwaves. We're in this conversing sort of brainwaves that's activity. But meditation puts us into alpha brainwaves, relaxation and ease. Funny enough, meditation has been shown to put us in all the different brainwave states. So gamma brainwaves are for like peak focus and memory consolidation. Meditation puts us there, and we can listen to specific frequencies to put us there also. Meditation has been shown in recent studies to put us into delta brainwaves. Specific practices, not just all practices, but delta brainwaves are only typically seen in deep sleep. So you can get those rejuvenation effects while meditating. Or theta brainwaves are typically seen in children. They aren't as often seen in adults. And they have to do more with creative thinking, divergent thinking, which is very important as an entrepreneur or in business, is to think in that way that's different than what others are thinking. Question things, be curious. And so meditation and specific music can put us into those states. So I have meditations for each of those things.
And you notice there, listeners, that with and my background, my father's comes from Greece, and that's I'm half part Greek. And so they're all Greek words you use, alpha, beta, gamma, and delta, and theta. That's pretty cool. So it's good to see.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, very good. Hey, how did you actually get into leadership yourself?
So I started my business because I wanted to share the healing power of mind-body practices with others, and especially others with chronic pain and mental health conditions. And I started it, and being a solopreneur, then got to a point where I needed to hire people. Now, nobody teaches you when you're like early 20s how to hire people. And so I went through that process and eventually actually got advisement from somebody. How do you hire somebody well? Because when you have your own business, you have to like pay people to teach you things because you don't have mentors. So somebody taught me how to hire, and I hired who has now been my assistant for 4 years now. And so that's who I've had more recently. I've hired other people through the years, video editors and sound editors. The person that created this meditation music album that I recently produced, she has 2 master's degrees in music. So hiring her was one of the best things I've ever done. So putting together a team was not something I thought of when I originally started my business, but it's become a big part of my business. I feel so supported now to have this team, and my intentions are to continue to grow, but with a relatively small team. That's my intention.
Yeah. And I'm glad you actually shared that, because I think that having the right people around you is really important and who are skilled in what they're doing. For me, I have the production team who will produce this episode and everything else I do around the podcast. And they're just superb. They just fantastic to watch them. And also the graphic design team that do all the graphics. I think both of them, I just say them all the time. I'm really looking forward to your magic, because that just what they do. They just turn things into very cool stuff. And they're very important to us, because they allow people like you and I and other leaders to get on with what we're really good at, while they're getting on with what they're very good at as well. And so when it comes together, it's a great thing.
It takes a team. And that I've also seen in writing my 2 books. So both of my books were written with the publisher DK. They're part of Penguin Random House, and they create these books that are really masterpieces. They're for your coffee table, that kind of illustrative guide. And the first book, Science of Yoga, I worked with some of the best illustrators in the world, designers in the world. You have a whole team of people in design, a whole team of people in illustration, and it trickles down. It's this huge editorial process. And then this recent book, the illustrator, she does work for the New York Times and the New Yorker. And so working with some of the most talented people on earth to create books has been teamwork also for me.
Yeah. And I like the color blue. So listeners, you can't see this, but what I'll say to you is check the books out. That blue book that you've got, The Science of Yoga, I just keep looking at it. It's behind Anne right now. And that coloring in there, and I just love it. I think it's fantastic. So well done to the team. And then the other book is different again, coloring that green, but yeah, still attractive too, right? So hey, what we're saying here, listeners, is make sure you get the right people around you.
Yes.
And you can't do it all yourself. You have to have a team around you to help you do where you go. Don't get me wrong, you probably could do a lot of this yourself, but you're going to be limited and you won't be able to scale. And I think that's a big thing.
And I don't want to. Like, I start to figure out what I enjoy doing, what I thrive at, and it's not all the tech stuff.
Yep.
And then my assistant, Marina, I call her my tech guru because she loves figuring out how do you make this work? And I'm just not interested in that. I want to do the writing and the teaching and the live speaking. So finding what you truly thrive at and then what others thrive at in your team makes a huge difference.
Do you think that when you do find the thing that you thrive at, then... for me, it doesn't feel like work, but also I think for others, it won't feel like work. But then will people tend to be not so anxious, overwhelmed and things like that when A, they have the team around them to help them, but B, which is probably more important out of all of it, is you are doing the thing that you thrive or you're really good at. Does it make things easier so then you're not so tense?
Yes, but meditation also supports that because number one, it helps me get in touch with my intuition to know, like, did I take on the right project? Is this the right direction? Is this the right aspect of it for me to take on as my responsibility? But also that negativity bias that we talked about earlier. Sometimes our brain becomes so trained to be in that bias. And remember, it's keeping you safe. So don't be mad at it. It's human nature. That even when we're thriving, we start to get to be like, oh, it's so hard. It's so overwhelming. And that's when meditation puts things in perspective. Because one concept is gratitude and appreciation and connection that is emphasized in meditation. And so whatever you're doing, even if it's not the perfect, oh, I'm thriving and doing the exact right thing I want to be doing right this moment, right? Even us that are doing our passion careers, we have time periods where we're doing things we don't want to do, right? It's to focus on gratitude and appreciation for your team, for the things that are working well, for the things in your career that like are lighting you up. So I think that that's been a big aspect for me is shifting when I get overwhelmed and negative to what am I grateful for right now? Who am I grateful for right now? How can I let them know that I appreciate them? Send them a message. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful that you helped me with this. Do something
Excellent.
Nice.
Excellent. The gratitude, being grateful, is very important. I had a leader recently who was very overwhelmed. So I got them for 5 days in a row to send me a message, well, for them in the morning to get up and be, what are they grateful for? 3 to 5 things that they're grateful for.
Yeah.
And then also share with me what's the one thing they're doing around exercise or activity that day. And then they would send me a message on WhatsApp. And the fact that they did it, but it actually shifted them. It got them out of that overwhelm, being depressed or not feeling great, to now into a different mindset within actually 1 or 2 days of doing it, but actually 5 days later, totally different person. And just the fact that they've done that and they will know, they've learned from the fact that they can do that to help them during those times was powerful for that person. And also their team saw a difference.
Yeah, it's contagious. Calm is contagious, just like overwhelm is contagious.
Yeah.
Other people around you will catch it. But
yeah,
and then that mindset, shifting your mindset to gratitude makes a huge difference. I think we can even think of it as getting into a different like heart set. So we're trying to get out of our heads and into our body. And so listening to your body, listening to your intuition, your heart, your organs, there's a reason we say like, oh, I have a heavy heart or an open heart or my stomach feels grumbly or butterflies in my stomach. These, your organs are speaking to you. It sounds woo-woo, but there's science to support this. It's called interoception. It's a perception of your inner body. So your organs are constantly giving you cues. And I believe that in every situation, you truly know what the right answer is or what the right thing to do is. Especially in business. Should I take this? Should I sign this contract? Should I continue on? The right answer. But you need to take that time, that powerful pause to listen, to settle. It makes all the world of difference.
I've actually walked away from business a lot of money because I had this, it didn't sit right with me. And it took a little while with Mary sitting down, we're talking through things. It was obvious later on that it wasn't the right thing for me. And I had to walk away. As soon as I did, it was like the weight off my shoulders, and it was just so much lighter and so much like, oh, obviously I had to move away from it because it was going to actually pull me down a lot. So I really like what you just shared there. Very important for people to think about. Now, this person could be alive or from history. Who's your favorite leader and why?
Well, I already mentioned her name. It is Oprah. And she has always inspired me because I've watched her career evolve over time. And actually, at the Women's March years back, I held a poster that said Oprah for President. And there was a picture of it that she actually saw, her team saw on Instagram, and they put it in her magazine.
Awesome.
And one thing I love about Oprah is she follows her true dharma, her true purpose, as we say, that inner calling of like, what should I be doing? And she never ran for president. Everybody was saying you should run for president. She's like, no, I'm not doing the politics thing. And when things weren't feeling right for her with her network, she started her own network. She started her own TV network. And everybody said, that's crazy. You can't start your own network. Nobody's done it like that before. And she did it. And I love Super Soul Sunday. I love her network. And so many people do. So I think Oprah has been one of the biggest influences for me in that way, just watching her career over the years. And she meditates too.
Yep.
She's very spiritual as well as a leader.
Mm-hmm. You know what I like what you just said there as well is the fact that it's never been done like that before. And when people say that, I love just to see people go out and prove them wrong. Right? Because that's the trendsetters, that's the trailblazers, that's the ones that are out there carving out the new pathways for people to follow, which is good. But I really like what you just said about follow your real purpose. And that's real key, yeah, very much so. Now, if you and Oprah were sitting down on a park bench having a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, or some water, what would be one question you'd love to ask her?
I actually visualize this happening all the time because
I'm
in Hawaii, but she's on another island. She's on Maui. And I'm like, oh, what if I ran into her? Like, what if she asks me to be on Super Soul Sunday? I really wonder about her own personal meditation practice right now. What has that evolved to be? I've seen over the years her speaking to so many meditation experts and gathering all of that information. So I would ask her about her personal meditation practice.
Well, Oprah, there's a message for you to now sit down with Anne and have a chat. So yeah, absolutely. It'd be pretty cool.
It's
very good. Hey, the show's called Leadership is Changing. When I mentioned that title, that statement, what does it mean for you?
I think seeing that so many corporate leaders are meditating and openly talking about it shows me that leaders are shifting to be more present, more compassionate. Compassion is also a side effect of meditation, one of those positive side effects, able to connect with others on a higher level. And I think that's something that I'm seeing changing in small ways. And I'm hoping to encourage more leaders to meditate and see those changes in their business.
Yeah, very good. I think that's great. Great way of putting it. Now, you and I tend to be living in a world whereby it seems to be getting faster. Now, I don't know if it's because we're getting older, and as life, you get older, things going faster. But I think technology and data and business and social is driving a lot of that fast-paced world. And if you're not keeping up, you're going to get left behind. So what is leaders needing to do to be successful in that fast-paced, ever-changing world?
Ironically, slow down. Mm. Take those powerful pauses. We think we don't have time to meditate, but it expands your time because then you can prioritize better. You can listen to your heart. You can listen to your intuition, whatever you want to call it. Listen to your body so that you know what to prioritize, what to do next. That's what it feels like. It feels so overwhelming because there's so much to do. Should I start this new social media or this? No, just focus in on what does your intuition say to do. I think that's really where you're going to get the answers.
Mm.
is by taking these powerful pauses and listening.
Yeah. I love that powerful pauses. You brought it up a few times today, and I think that's very important. Powerful pauses are so strong. Hey, listeners, you're not able to see this, but I've noticed that and I are both drinking water quite a bit as we're going through this interview. The importance of water, and is it important? What should people be doing? Should they be drinking more water? What's your thoughts?
I feel like this was almost planted, but you don't know this, but I have in the book a hydration meditation.
Uh-huh.
And so every time you take a sip of water, and do it right now if you have water near you or even tea, something, notice the temperature of it as you take a sip. Notice it moving down your throat and imagine it cleansing you. Every time you take a sip of water, it's this cleansing experience that this is a technique often therapists will do. You may now notice your therapist drinking lots of water when they're talking to you, but really it's something you can do through the day and it's going to help you stay hydrated too, which we know is good for your health, is when you need to switch, whether it's switching in a conversation or there's a challenging conversation or you're in between activities. Okay, I just finished dropping my kids off and now I'm going to start this project. Take a big sip of water and really feel it in your body. Imagine it cleansing you and bringing you into the new moment, into this activity that you're about to start. So it's this mini meditation that you can do, this hydration meditation.
It's also probably another form of a powerful pause as well, right? When you're doing that. Yeah. Yeah. It's very good.
Yeah.
I like it too, because, and as you say about the therapist when they're drinking, because even for leaders, we're hearing from people and business and everywhere there's problems and there's also opportunities and there's a whole lot of stuff. So it's that cleansing that's really important. That's why I have, and people laugh at me at this, but I go and have a haircut every week. There's not much to do. It doesn't take very long. But I go and do it as part of my cleansing process. It's my time to be there, but it's actually the hair coming off. It's actually a cleansing process too, which is a little bit different. Add that to your book. Go and have a haircut every week.
Well, I have a skincare meditation, so I do the same with my skincare at night. I imagine that cleansing off the day and letting go of the day. I feel my fingers on my skin, the temperature of the water. And I use that as this mindfulness practice to help me unwind at the end of the day.
Yeah, very good. Hey, look, I was going to ask you to get your crystal ball out here and think about the future. If we think about leadership, where do you see it being in 5 years?
I see this calm being contagious and more people meditating and sharing the practice and talking about the practice openly. Saying, oh, I did this and it really helped me focus today. And like, we're right in front of your children. You're about to blow a fuse. You take a few deep breaths and you close your eyes and then you open your eyes and you look more relaxed. And they see that. It being this thing that's contagious and obvious and we don't hide. And I think that's really how it's going to spread, is people talking about it. That's why I wrote this book, is to share it and made it as a gift book. It's like... buy this for someone who's skeptical, who's been told to meditate, they couldn't get into it. We all know it's good for us. The evidence is out. There's been an exponential growth in the research supporting meditation. Now it's all about people actually practicing it and telling the stories of the difference it made for them. And so sharing meditation, sharing it with more people.
Excellent. Well, Anne, it's been a real pleasure talking to you today. If our listeners, in addition to the gift that you've already given them, which is thank you for doing that, where should listeners go if they want to get in touch with you?
Definitely the meditationfortherealworld.com. That's the best place to connect. And also YouTube and Swanson Wellness. Those are the best places to practice with me. And I hope to connect with you further.
Thank you. Well, once again, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
There you go, listeners. Remember that even if it's a big name, they're still human beings, right? And still go through certain things. So powerful pauses are important. Listen to your body. The other thing too is actually having gratitude on a regular basis. And if you can have a shifting mindset towards gratitude, that's going to really help. The other big thing that came out of today also was at times we need to slow down and take those powerful pauses, but also calm is also being contagious. Hey, thanks for joining us. Until next time, bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Leadership is Changing with your host, Dennis Giannoutsos. Each week, we and our guests provide information and insights through exploring leading change, inspiring executives and leaders to adapt and lead a bigger game in a fast-moving world.